What is up, guys? Today is Saturday, September 8th. We got football tomorrow. I know I said I'd have my NFC predictions up the next day, but unfortunately, I kind of had like a rough day with the passing of Mac Miller. He was a very big inspiration to me and just kind of the soundtrack to my life. So I kind of, you know, I took that pretty hard and I kind of wanted to take a day off. So rest in peace to him. He was a big football fan, fan of the Steelers, fan of the Pirates and the Penguins, just always repping Pittsburgh. And a big shout out to him because he was a very talented, immensely talented musician. But to get back to football, I will get into my NFC predictions right now. First, we have to talk a little bit about the Eagles and the Falcons game. I know I said in the last episode that I think the Falcons were going to kill it. Don't hold it against me. Sometimes the predictions go the wrong way. Both teams offensively looked like a mess. Defensively, they looked pretty solid. But is that more attributed to their defense or just how shaky the offense looked? Julio Jones had a monster game. The guy gets open at will. Matt Ryan, unfortunately, had a very terrible outing. One of the worst I've ever seen from Matt Ryan. His arm looked very weak, which is very concerning. I don't know if that was by choice, but a lot of the passes didn't have any type of power on them. There's this one really bad pick that people were absolutely roasting him about. It was Julio Jones ran like a flag route. Matt Ryan threw it more like it would be a comeback. And I want to say, because on the sideline, Julio Jones was kind of patting his chest like that was on me. So I think maybe that one shouldn't be attributed to Matt Ryan necessarily. I'm still hopeful on the Falcons. I think they have so much talent. I think they bounce back. Defensively, they looked okay at times. The offense led by Nick Foles on the other side of the ball also didn't necessarily have the greatest day. He was definitely getting carried by the defense. And then Jay Ajayi had kind of a solid performance that was kind of carried by the fact that he ended up scoring two touchdowns. From a fantasy perspective, people have to be ecstatic. Aside from that, he wasn't dominating necessarily. He just broke off two solid runs, found the gaps, and he did very well on those plays. The Eagles ended up winning that game. And honestly, I can say that the Eagles team looks a lot better than I was expecting. I mean, of course, they won the Super Bowl, so they're going to be good. But this looks like a very, very well-oiled machine. And once they get Carson Wentz back, one has to imagine that this team is going to get back to the same level of play that they were playing at last season. That's just, you know, they look like they're defensively still very dominant, which I feel like is a big, big part to their success, because Carson Wentz is also a very, very capable quarterback, and once they get him back, this could be a very good team. So now I have to give my NFC predictions, and I decided to pick one player for each team that I think could be the make or break player for each team. You're going to see a lot of obvious guys. You're going to see a lot of quarterbacks, so don't complain too much about that. But yeah, these are just the guys that I think are going to be the make or break players for a lot of these teams. So the first one we have to go over is the NFC East, and that begins with the Washington Redskins. And the Washington Redskins make or break player, I think, interestingly enough, is going to be wide receiver Josh Doctson, which I think is going to be pretty interesting because they are putting a lot of trust on him. Of course, there's Jamison Crowder, who's a very solid slot guy, and then they have a Jordan Reed, but I am not very confident in his health, and that's sad to say, and I hate to speculate, but I really, really think that if he gets one more concussion, that could be the end of his career. And I know that's such a serious thing to say, and I know it's speculation, so I feel bad saying it, but that's just what I think right now. And I think a lot of targets are going to be going Josh Doctson's way, and his athletic ability is huge. You see a lot of targets to him in the red zone, a lot of jump ball opportunities. In fact, he was the fifth most targeted receiver in the red zone in 2017, so that just shows what they think of him. And I think a lot of it is going to depend on him, because they have Alex Smith, a guy who has been average to a little bit slightly better than average, and he's coming off a very good year. But the thing with Alex Smith is, if you look at him, he was with Andy Reid. He was with an offense that was absolutely loaded at every skill position, at running back, tight end, receiver. They were stacked. And now he comes to a team that is completely different. They lost their starting running back in Darius Geis. Now they have Adrian Peterson. We'll see how much is left in his tank. The tight end position could be completely gone if Jordan Reed gets hurt. And then you're looking at a receiving core that looks at least a little lackluster. So it's going to depend on Josh Doctson. I have this team as of right now going 6-10. Maybe they could do a little better, but I just do not see them as a team that is too competitive when it comes to the playoffs. Now, the next team is the Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys make or break player this season for me is linebacker Jalen Smith. Jalen Smith this preseason has been looking great. His athleticism seems to be returning from that devastating knee injury he sustained in college, which is great to hear because he's just an awesome guy outside of football as well. So a lot of people are rooting for him. And if he could get to that level that people expected him to do, this could be a game changer on the defensive side of the ball, which has been the Dallas Cowboys' main struggle. I could have easily said Dak Prescott here, but with Ezekiel Elliott returning, I think that takes a little bit of the load off Dak Prescott. I think Ezekiel Elliott could lead the league in the amount of carries he gets just because they're going to be force-feeding him. There is a big hole at the receiver position. Allen Hurns is going to need to step up. Michael Gallup's going to need to step up. But I think if Jalen Smith can dominate defensively, that can really, really help the defense. Another guy that I could throw in there is Chidobe Awuzie, a cornerback that I think needs to step up as well because the secondary has also been a huge hole for the Dallas Cowboys. I'm confident in their defensive line, confident in their running game, but I recognize that they're missing two key parts in their offensive line, especially in Travis Frederick, and we don't know when he's returning. So that could be huge for them. They have the holes at the receiver position, and I just think if they were to able to get Jalen Smith to play at, it doesn't even have to be an elite level. As long as he's not a liability and he's actually making some plays out there, that could be a game changer for this Dallas Cowboys defense, one that they really need because Sean Lee has been carrying that defense on his back for some years now. So I think that could be their make or break. I have them right now going 8-8 just because there are a lot of holes on this team. Now, the next team I have is the Super Bowl champion, the Philadelphia Eagles. Their make or break player, to no one's surprise, is going to be Carson Wentz. He's coming off an ACL injury. He didn't get to play in those playoffs and Super Bowl games. How is he going to return? Of course, he is a guy who really depends on his athleticism. He is a magician when it comes to bouncing around the pocket. And it was actually very, very impressive to watch him move around and use his feet. So how is he going to be able to return? Is he going to be limited? Because the defense, like I said early in the podcast, they look good to go. They look like they were last season. Alshon Jeffrey is going to return. Jay Ajayi is looking more impressive this season than he did last season. He looks a lot more in shape, a lot more like that 2016 Miami Dolphins Jay Ajayi. So can Carson Wentz come back? Because that's all they really need. If he can come back and play 75% or a little bit more than that, they're a playoff team and they go 10-6. And that's where I have them at right now. So no Carson Wentz, no playoffs, because I like Nick Foles, but I don't like him that much. The next team on the list is going to be a big shocker. This is going to be my hot take for the podcast. One of the biggest hot takes on this podcast. And I'm going to start it off by reading a tweet by Antoine V. Staley. He covers the Miami Dolphins for USA Today on their Dolphins Wire. Well, he tweeted, at least one NFL team has won its division the season after finishing in or tied for last place in 14 of the past 15 seasons. Who will it be this season? And my pick for this season is going to be the New York Giants. And I know that's going to come as a big shocker to a lot of people. But when I saw them last season, I actually had them as a playoff team. And I think they're absolutely stacked. Their make or break player for me is going to be Saquon Barkley. Because if you look at running back, the running back position, when it comes to rookies, these are guys who are widely successful. You have last season Leonard Fournette, you have Alvin Kamara, and you have Kareem Hunt, guys who were widely successful, maybe a little bit less for Leonard Fournette, but the other two guys were outstanding. And then you have Ezekiel Elliott in his rookie campaign. That guy was an absolute monster and game changer for them. And then before that, you have Todd Gurley, who did awesome in his rookie season as well. And I do not expect this pattern to change for Saquon Barkley heading into his rookie year. He's going to be getting plenty of touches, and that's all they need is a decent running game to help get the load off Eli Manning. And once they have a decent running game, you mix in there the fact that Odell is a monster and he's returning. Sterling Shepard is probably one of the best slot receivers in the league. I can only name a few more better than him. You have Evan Ingram, who was able to catch a ton of balls and build his confidence up because the other guys were out. That is going to be huge for them offensively, and I just see them as a loaded team offensively. As long as Eli Manning doesn't do anything too crazy, they should be successful. And defensively, I don't think they look too bad either. They got talent scattered throughout the whole team. Janoris Jenkins surprised me because in 2016, he looked very good. Last season, not so much. They have Landon Collins. Same thing with him. 2016, beast. Last season, a little bit eh. Guys who could easily step back. Olivier Vernon. Alec Ogletree from the Los Angeles Rams is a guy who I think could step up. So I just think they have a lot of talent throughout the board, and I wouldn't be surprised if this team ends up being really good this season. So I have them going 10-6 to maybe 11-5 around that area and winning the division. That's my hot take. Now, to move over to the NFC North, I have the Chicago Bears getting last place in this one. I have them in the 6-10 region, maybe 5-11. I am not 100% convinced, and their make or break player for me is going to be quarterback Mitch Trubisky. This is a lot of people's picks to have the Carson Wentz type of second year breakout season, but I am just not really ready to say that he has that type of season. He has the weapons available to him, so if he doesn't do it, then the blame's going to definitely fall on him. He's got Tariq Cohen, a guy who could break out. He's going to have a solid running game with Jordan Howard. He has a guy in Allen Robinson who had a tremendous season in 2015. This guy, I don't think he gets enough credit. This guy is huge. He can catch these jump balls, and he has been working with Blake Bortles his entire career. So, and then you have one of the most underrated tight ends in Trey Burton. So the weapons are there for Mitch Trubisky, but I just do not think he is ready to make that next jump. That I'm not saying that's a knock on him his entire career, but the way I look at him right now, I'm just not entirely confident that he'll be able to do it. So I have them in like the 6-10 region, 5-11, just right there. I think they're going to have a very good team defensively, but I think offensively could be a liability again. Now, the next team I have here is the Detroit Lions. I have them in the 9-7 area, and their make or break player for me is going to be running back Kerryon Johnson. The Lions are notoriously a team that have lacked any talent at the running back position. They took Ameer Abdullah. His yards per carry were bad. He never really got to that potential that everyone seems to think he could have. So now they turned and they got LeGarrette Blount. They got Kerryon Johnson. And those are huge moves because Matt Stafford, his entire career, has been forced to be a gunslinger, and he's been doing a pretty darn good job at it. But now, if they can actually build a solid run game with LeGarrette Blount and Kerryon Johnson, a nice little 1-2 punch, then this team could be a very well-balanced offense for the first time in a long time. And they have good receivers, like about as consistent and solid, dependable receivers as you can get in Marvin Jones and Golden Tate. Those guys are going to be good. So if they can solidify this run game, because defensively too, they kind of remind me of the Giants. They have these little star players scattered throughout the team. They don't necessarily have an entirely intimidating unit, but they have enough star power scattered throughout with Ezekiel Ansah and Darius Slay and Glover Quinn that they could be a very good defense as well. So this is a team that, again, I have them going 9-7. Could be some upside depending on Matt Stafford and Kerryon Johnson. And the next team I have here is the Green Bay Packers. I have the Green Bay Packers in the 10-6 area. And their make-or-break player goes by the name of Aaron. And it is not Aaron Rodgers. It is actually Aaron Jones, the running back. He is suspended right now. He will be back. Until then, the role is going to be held by Ty Montgomery and Jamal Williams, guys who are, I'm kind of, they can keep the boat afloat, but they are not the guy. Aaron Jones has tremendous, tremendous upside. I watch him play, and it is almost like watching Devontae Freeman. This guy is shifty. He's a game changer, and he is like of a running back caliber that Aaron Rodgers has never really had to work with in my mind. And I think if Aaron Jones can get the rock and play like how I think he can play, that this could be a very balanced dynamic offense, kind of the same way the Detroit Lions have. You don't want to force Aaron Rodgers in a position. I mean, you could, and he'll still excel at it, but it's even more impressive if you have a really well-balanced offense. And of course, they have weapons throughout the offense in Devontae Adams, who I think is going to be a very, very good receiver this year. They have Jimmy Graham, who's going to be an absolute monster in the red zone. I think Aaron Rodgers will find a way to make it work with him. So if they could get that running back, that Aaron Jones, to work in this offense and become the guy, I think this team could go very far. It's also going to depend heavily on the defense. They're a team that isn't going to beat you with the defense, but they're going to do as much as they can to keep you in there. Of course, they drafted two cornerbacks, and they have Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. So I think this is a defense that could grow towards the end of the season, and I think they'll be all right on defense, maybe just barely good enough to keep them in the game. I have them going 10-6. So that leaves one team, and it is the Minnesota Vikings. Their make or break player this season for me is going to be Kirk Cousins, and I have them going 11-5, 10-6 area as well. And this is because if you look at every part of this team, almost you have guys who are hitting their prime, and it is a very, very well-timed push to make this Super Bowl run. You just look around. you have the defense. You have Xavier Rhodes. You have Harrison Smith. You have Andrew Sendejo. You got Burr at the linebacker position. This team is absolutely stacked at guys who are hitting their prime right now. You got Stephon Diggs hitting his prime. You got Adam Thielen, who's turning out to be one of the better receivers in the league. And then Latavius Murray last season, many people thought he wasn't going to have a role, and he was more likely not going to have a role until Dalvin Cook went down. He turned into a very, very good, serviceable guy. So now you have a 1-2 punch with him and Dalvin Cook, and all they need, if you look everywhere, is a quarterback. Case Keenum had a good season, but if you have a guy who does even better than that, the fact of the matter is they're a Super Bowl team. And I think that's what they have in Kirk Cousins. If Kirk Cousins can really take that next step and prove to be just even a little slightly better than Case Keenum was last season, then this team is a very, very good chance at being a Super Bowl contender. Now, to head over to the NFC South, I have the Buccaneers being the worst team potentially in the league. I have them in the 3-13 region, maybe squeezing another win from that, which is a dang shame because they have one of the best receivers in the league in Mike Evans, but I'd have their make or break player in being Jameis Winston. And I think if I had to pick whether it's a make or a break, I think it's going to be a break. I think he's going to bust this season, and this is going to be the year where the Buccaneers realize that they need to chase after a quarterback in this next draft. Aside from Mike Evans, they have an aging DeSean Jackson. They got O.J. Howard at the tight end position with Cameron Brate. Those two guys are good. And then they have Ronald Jones, the rookie, who's going to be taking over the ball with Peyton Barber at the running back position. So they do have weapons there. They're definitely there. But I am just that low on Jameis Winston and Fitzpatrick that I don't think they're going to do it. And that's going to signify more about them. And their defense is also pretty good. They have some nice linebackers there. Brent Grimes is there, who is, I think, past his prime and not a very serviceable cornerback. But that just might be the homer in me a little bit. But yeah, I just see the Buccaneers being one of the worst teams in the league this season. The next team I have here is the New Orleans Saints, and their make or break player is going to be Michael Thomas. Can he take that next step? Can he become truly, truly one of the top five receivers in the league? Because he has all the talent to do so. And if you look at his trajectory, he is definitely on pace to do that. He has Drew Brees at the quarterback, serviceable. And then they have a dynamic running duo in Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara. So all signs are going to point to Michael Thomas being a beast. I think he does it. He's going to become one of the top receivers in this league if you don't consider him one already. And I think the defense is also going to be fairly impressive. They were really good last year, which kind of shocked people because they went from one of the worst to one of the best. And they did it mostly by plugging in rookies in there, of course, led by Marcus Lattimore. I think these guys remain solid on defense, and they go 10-6, 9-7 in that area. I do think Alvin Kamara regresses a little bit statistically, not because he does bad, but just because those numbers are going to be very hard to maintain. The next player I have here, the next team I have is the Carolina Panthers. I have them also in the 9-7, 10-6 range. I'm actually kind of impressed by this team defensively, and I have their make or break player being Christian McCaffrey, because last year they fed this guy the ball a lot and he couldn't really find too much to do with it. And I see them, all signs pointing to them doing the same thing this season. They let go of Jonathan Stewart. Christian McCaffrey is going to get the ball a lot in passing and a lot in running. And he is definitely a guy who is talented at running inside despite his small stature. Kind of reminds me of Deion Lewis a little bit. And if they can get him running and becoming a functional part of this offense, that could be a deadly player right there. I think Cam Newton's going to have a solid season. And Devin Funches is a lot better of a receiver than Kelvin Benjamin in my mind. Of course, Greg Olsen, we know what he's capable of. He's getting a little old, but I still think he has plenty left in the tank. Defensively, their defensive line is stacked. Luke Kuechly is a game changer. The only thing that worries me is that their secondary is kind of weak, and that's not a secondary that is going to lock down too many big threat receivers, which they have to go up against in Julio Jones and Michael Thomas, who I just mentioned. So that is a big concern for me. I have them on the cusp of playoff, but not quite there yet. That is the Carolina Panthers for me. And then the last team in this NFC South group, a team that I just mentioned how big I was on them, kind of scared me a little bit yesterday. I'm still going to go in and say I'm very confident in their team. I have them on the 11-5 area, and their make or break player, especially after last night's game, is going to be Matt Ryan. For some reason, he had a noodle arm. That's the only way to put it. He was throwing some ducks. It didn't really make sense. I do think that is the worst performance we're going to see from Matt Ryan. And I think that is largely attributed to it being the first game. Guys come out rusty, especially when you're the starting quarterback and you're not going to get too many reps in the preseason. I do think he comes back stronger, but this was a very, very concerning showing from him. He is going to be their make or break player. Now, to move on to the NFC West, I have the worst team in this division being the Arizona Cardinals. I have them in the 5-11, 4-12 region, mostly because I do not love Sam Bradford. I really love Josh Rosen, and Josh Rosen is going to be their make or break player this season, which is hard to say because he's a rookie, but that is what this season's record is going to depend on, because at some point he will become the quarterback of this team. I'm saying that right now. Sam Bradford gets hurt a lot, and Josh Rosen eventually will take over the team. This is science. There's certain things in life, death, taxes, and Sam Bradford getting hurt. So Josh Rosen, a guy who I think is very, very talented. I think he's going to have the growing pains, but I think he's going to show tremendous upside. But at least this year, this is not going to be a year where they're real contenders. I have the worst team in this division. The next team I have is the San Francisco 49ers, and their make or break player is the most obvious one in history, is Jimmy Garoppolo. They gave this guy a massive contract, and frankly, I am not as big on the hype train. People actually have the 49ers as Super Bowl contenders that year. I think that is the biggest reach of all time. I think this hype train is unwarranted to some extent. I think Jimmy Garoppolo is he game managed very well, and if you look at the wins and loss column, he gave you guys the win, so that means a lot. But statistically, he wasn't necessarily the one carrying the team to victory. I think he was better than a lot of options they've had in the past. But the fact of the matter is, he didn't really put up anything that at least really impressed me personally. You look at their receiving corps, they're going to be led by Marquise Goodwin and Pierre Garçon, guys who I am not really, intimidated by if I'm a secondary. They lost Jarrett McKinnon. Of course, I'm very big on Matt Breda, but offensively, it's going to rely a lot again on Jimmy Garoppolo, and I'm just really not sure that he is that good that he can turn these guys into stars. And that's just where I'm at right now. I have them going 7-9, and I, like I said, I'm not big on that hype train. The next one I have is the Seattle Seahawks, and I have them in the 8-8 and also 7-9 region. And their make or break player this season for me is going to be Russell Wilson, kind of an obvious one again. But if you just look around the team, the Legion of Boom is over. There's no other way to put it. The Legion of Boom's done. Cam Chancellor's gone. Earl Thomas is barely back. Richard Sherman's gone. So the defensive powerhouse that we knew for many years with Bruce Irvin and all them, it's over. And offensively, they have Chris Carson, who I think is a solid running back. They got Rashad Penny in the draft. But then again, these aren't guys who are, again, intimidating to your defense. Doug Baldwin is also a very good receiver, but he is not someone that we typically associate as a guy who dominates and changes an entire game. So it's going to depend a lot on Russell Wilson, kind of what he's been doing in years past, carrying the team. And I am not sure he's going to be able to do it again this year, because he's been doing it in years past. I think there's too much that the Seahawks are putting on his back, and I think this is kind of a down year for them. And now for the team I have winning the division, it might be the most obvious selection of all time. There's no hot takes here. It is the Los Angeles Rams, and I have them in the 11-5, 12-4 region, and their make or break player this season for me is going to be Marcus Peters, which I think is a very interesting pick. And let me explain why I am very confident in Aaron Donald. That is a given. I am very confident in Ndamukong Suh. I am very confident in Mark Barron at the linebacker position as well. These are guys who I am not concerned about. But they lost Tremaine Johnson, who has been their best cornerback, and they also lost Robert Quinn on the line. So there are going to be a few holes they need to fill, and Mark Peters is the main one. Aqib Talib is also there on the other side, Sam Shields as well, but these are guys I am not entirely confident in. Aqib Talib, I think, is past his prime a little bit. A lot is going to be on the back of Mark Peters, because offensively, the weapons are there. They have the same guys except Sammy Watkins, who was injury prone, and they replaced him with Brandon Cooks. They're basically sending out the same team as last year. Defense, they added talent as well. And if Marcus Peters can lock down this position, well, like we know he can, then this is a force to be reckoned with on both sides of the ball. And I see that as likely to happen. So guys, that is my wrap up of the NFC and their predictions. Let me know what you guys think. think. I would love to hear what you guys think. That is how I'm going to wrap up this episode. We got football tomorrow, guys. I am so excited. The Tennessee Titans up against the Miami Dolphins. It looks like a pretty evenly matched. Tennessee is missing some key players in that matchup. We'll see how it goes. I'm very concerned. If I had to say anything, it's going to be about Derrick Henry and Deion Lewis just running it up the gut. And I think if Miami can shut that down, they have a very, very good chance of winning this game. If they can't shut down the run, it is going to be a lost cause. But until next time, guys, I'm Steven Masso, and this was Via the Source.